Hi, I'm Ryan.
And I'm Kyle.
And I'm Jason, the creator of the Army Showcase. And though we're a little late to the party with our review of Lord of the Rings Strategy Battle Game at Games Workshop, you're going to listen to it anyway in this episode, the Tabletop Battlefield! Season 2, Episode 3 of the Tabletop Battlefield, the official podcast of the Army Showcase at www.tabletopbattlefield.com, which I was hoping would be an easier domain to spell, but my brother proved me wrong as I tried to tell him where the phone to go to tabletopbattlefield.com to check out the show, and he misspelled battle in the process. Good work, James.
And your brother went to a pretty good college, didn't he? And wow, such a great education.
And of course, his misspelling of the battle had to be followed up with the obligatory, "What's a battle?" comment from The Simpsons. My horrible Ralph voice impersonation there.
Yeah, so.
But seriously.
Must be squeaker.
Yes. Enough of the crazy crap out of the way and making fun of my brother.
For now.
For now. I'm sure you'll. But seriously, though. We got in front of us here Lord of the Rings Strategy Battle Game at Games Workshop. It's the third of their three big franchises. And I realize this game has been out really for a couple of years. I think it came out, they started releasing it back when the first movie came out, and they released sets for, obviously for Return of the King and Two Towers, and those guys came out. As he's got stacked up over here. And I'm hoping a lot of you haven't played this game, because the reality is, if you play one of Games Workshop's games, they're expensive. And the reality is, maybe you haven't played this game, or maybe you want to get in this game or whatnot, so hopefully this review helps you out.
And you better have some money.
Actually, this is... Well, we'll talk about that later. This isn't as bad as 40K or Fantasy by any means. But, as usual, we're going to do our So Sweet, Hater Raid reviews, as we do normally. And for kids,
what are these?
Back from episode 25, the review of StarCraft, we got the soapbox card coming out.
Which
this time,
we didn't really
if you
want to
throw it down, you can throw it down at any point at the start of, well, actually, when we go through saying it, whether we're giving the particular topic a Hater Raid or So Sweet. And therefore, that'll give you 1 minute of talk time, or let people have to shut up. But once again, it's a one-time use card, so you got to use it, and then you lose it. So,
well, it might be kind of hard for Jason here, since he doesn't know how to shut up.
What?
Wonderful joke, Kyle. Wonderful joke.
You keep on going on and on.
Okay, then why don't we just get started right away, then?
All
right,
let's go.
You can start
off. You know what? I don't need to start off.
Okay, you start, Ryan. You
know,
first impressions. Let's get going.
First impressions, like it.
Okay.
My first impressions...
Really in-depth thought. Kyle.
My first impressions were that I actually thought these were actually really already painted, like pre-painted. Jason here had done a wonderful job with the colors.
These are my best painted figures yet, by far.
Oh, they're amazingly done. I did not even know that they weren't hand-painted, so I was amazed with the color scheme and the... detail of the characters.
I think the bases really make a difference, in my opinion. I put a lot of detail on the bases.
It was a great job, so I was quite impressed. And I thought it was going to be at least a very interesting game. I wasn't sure how important dice rolling would be until later on, but I was very interested.
All right, I'll talk a little just about the game. Games Workshop has the movie license, because New Line Cinema name is plastered all over the various boxes and whatnot. So that means all the figures look like they are in the movie, so there are obviously some differences between the book and the movie. I'm sure you're the only one here who's actually read the entire trilogy. So what you're going to get is the basic pieces from the very beginning of the first movie. So you've got like the Elves of the Last Alliance and the figure for Sauron at the very huge battles at the start where they first take the ring from Sauron for the first time. All the way to the Return of the King, where you got the warriors of Minas Tirith, you've got the eagles that show up at the very end. So all the figures, like I said, they do look like the characters. So like Legolas looks like Orlando Bloom and whatnot. But so I guess that's a little bit about the actual figures and behind the game. Gameplay's pretty simple, straightforward. The turns work basically like a lot of other Games Workshop stuff. You move all your forces. One side attacks, another side attacks, and that's pretty much how it all comes down to. Yeah, I guess that's the basic gist of the gameplay to it. You move your guys around, and, well, you attack. So
you're in,
as I'm stuttering.
You're in direct combat.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
A lot of melee. You can definitely play a lot of the parts from the movies because you can play the Battle of Helm's Deep and Minas Tirith if you want to spend mm-hmm. enough money to get all those figures. Yeah, there's a lot.
And a lot of time.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of time.
Making the figures up.
Yeah. So actually, what I've got here in front of me, all the non-starter kit figures, actually only half of what I got. I've got another 10 Uruk-hai, another 12 Men of Gondor, and 12 Elvising in boxes that I haven't got assembled yet. But we'll talk about that later. So let's dive into our main review section, I guess. And if you've never seen the show before, how it works is we go in order here, we pick a topic, and then everyone says whether they think the topic is so sweet or hate or hate. Basically, do they like what he's talking, do they like that aspect of the game, or do they not like the aspect of the game? We go around, and after we do that, we have a two-minute discussion on open floor where you can say why you support your opinion. So, who wants to start?
I can start, because I got something.
I actually went ahead and wrote down all my things ahead of time.
Yeah,
so I'm nice and ordered. Okay,
know.
Ryan, go ahead.
You. Okay, I'm going to start with Haterade.
Well, could you tell us what
yeah,
you hate?
The topic first, and we got to answer the questions.
It's the subject is the battlefield terrain and the lack of it.
Oh, well, that,
and
okay.
How, I mean, they do have terrain, and in one way I like how they say, well, you can just use anything, but in another way, that's one of the things.
Okay, let us talk. We have to put down our titles.
Okay, go ahead.
Get ahead of yourself there, that's all. Lack of battlefield terrain, I'm going to disagree so sweet, I'll explain why. Kyle?
You know what? Considering, you know, how you have made terrain yourself,
these are back from
I think it is also so sweet, because I believe that, you know, being able to make your own terrain, you know, can determine how things go about.
Okay, Ryan, you can explain your point first. You start the topic off.
Okay, well, and I'll start with the soapbox, so I have a minute just to...
Okay,
oh, well,
go
okay,
for it.
Yeah. Already.
Minute's so, counting.
Okay, minute, okay. Well, the terrain, I mean, one thing I like about HeroScape is you can build your own terrain, and... Mm-hmm. You can make it any way you want to, and the terrain for Lord of the Rings as where you can build from it there, and I'm stuttering now. You okay? Well, you guys stop. Now my mind totally went blank. Quit showing me that thing. I don't think they have enough terrain pieces, and I think the fact is, say, make your own doesn't give you enough to work with, especially gamers who don't know how to build terrains and are clueless about them.
One man's up. You can keep talking.
Just, I mean, yeah, just when I was getting to my point.
Yes.
Yes.
And I think for beginners, it's very tough for beginners to build trains.
It could be.
Like I say for myself, unless they would actually listen to a podcast like you and
like, I've done some trains in the past, done the trees, and I mean, these hills I got out here.
Foam.
Yeah, it's my styrofoam, cut an angle, painted brown with the green flocking on it. It takes about 5 minutes with the bandsaw to make that, like probably 2 minutes with the bandsaw to make that kind of thing.
So, I mean, the trees are a little bit longer, obviously, but... So, I mean, that's what I like.
The reason I disagree is just because I love making the terrain. I mean, I have a whole battlefield at home. We're actually going to be making a battlefield on this show coming very shortly, how to build an entire battlefield. The table from ground up, all the terrain, everything coming shortly. So,
because I believe it allows for, so many different ways you can go about things. That if you have, how some, base terrains are... sometimes it will limit you from wanting to expand out and create new terrain.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a matter of artistic expression. Do you like making terrain? Do you not like making terrain? If you don't like making terrain...
What I'd like for the makers of this to do is to actually give you an option whether or not to have terrain.
We had done the discussion, but I will say Games Workshop does make terrain, but it's very expensive.
Okay.
They do
make terrain for this specific...
All their games are about the same scale, so they do make products for little hills and trees and stuff, but anything that's got Games Workshop logo on it basically inflates the price quite a bit.
Okay.
It's a lot cheaper to make yourself.
So,
okay,
next?
I'll go next here.
Alright.
Why don't I start with a So Sweet, and what it is, there is one rule book to rule them all. And that's what other than the crazy pun for... Because this is more of a 40K, kind of from a 40K fantasy background, but The fact is there's one game, you only need one rule book to play.
Jason likes his rule books. Yeah, I think it's sweet.
Cal?
No, I do think it's sweet, but is there... where's my sweetness? It's already on there.
Yeah, okay. So you're going with it, too?
I'll go with it, but I'm just wondering if any problems, you know, flaws were found out with the rules. Like,
well, that's a different issue.
That's a different issue, true. But I like it, it's all in one area, obviously, for reference.
Yeah. Because if you ever played 40K or Fantasy, you know you need to buy the core rule book. Then every single friggin' army has its own codex that you gotta go buy, and that's got all the specific rules to use in that army. The Lord of the Rings, you don't need that. You've got the main rules in front. You've got all the basic units all in the back here. Actually, so you got unit stats just about every major figure in the game. And that's all that's required to play.
Oh, skim the book. I mean, they say in the rules that it's very simple to play. I mean, there are more extravagant rules for playing
you know, different scenarios and different types of battles.
For more advanced gameplay, but there's also a simpler way to play it for beginners. And so they give everybody a chance to
learn how to play it.
Yeah, in different ranges.
Yeah, I guess we might as well mention the curriculum we're talking about it. Because, yeah, get a starter kit. It gives you an introduction how to play the game, a couple of quick scenarios introducing all the new actions one after another. So that's, like, the very basic rules. And the rule book's actually laid out pretty nice, too. Because you got the basic rules at the start. They're maybe about less than 30 pages, if that, maybe 20 pages. And most of them are, like, very specific examples how to do things. And from that, the last 100 pages are really just, like, more advanced rules, different sections. Like, here's talking about barriers, how you can add those into the game. And then cavalry, then courage, and heroes and stuff. So it's a very well laid out rule book.
Okay.
Anything else? Oh, okay, well, one more thing, about 30 seconds left then. While there is only one required rule book, there are optional expansions you can get to the game. I think each of the movies has an optional expansion. Plus, there's special things like, I want to say the Battle of Pelennor Fields might have its own book by itself, or the Minas Tirith and...
So certain battles have certain rules?
Yeah. So there's more rules to the game that you can bring in for special scenarios, and those books have characters that are unique to that don't appear in the main book. But everything you need to get started playing the game is in the main book. Okay. Nothing else to buy. All right. Okay, Kyle, your turn.
Well, I'm going to go with the first haterade of the day.
This is a second.
Second one.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Yeah,
it's
second one.
It's in less than 5 minutes, Kyle. Okay, what's up?
Oh, I'm having problems with, you know, the use of archers is very limited. Yes. I really hate that.
Yeah.
I believe that, you know, they do minor damage at best. I mean, how many times we try to shoot each other and we would, quote, hit each other, but we wouldn't do any damage, and it's pointless. And I charged up and I did more damage in melee than I did in actual ranged combat.
Well, I mean, obviously they want the game to be focused about ranged combat. But, I mean, it's really ridiculous when the two... I guess they weren't huge armies we were playing the battle over here. We had, what? I had, like, 12 figures, you had 18.
Yeah.
And about the 3 turns that the guys took the meat, one goblin died in a ranged fire, and that was it.
Yeah.
I mean, even Legolas, who we all know is the best archer in Middle-earth, isn't using his best special ability. He really only going to kill a guy maybe one out of every 3 shots he shoots.
Yeah. I mean, that's a little bit more, you know, that's reasonable. But in this case, with these goblins...
And that's not reasonable. Like, well,
yeah, true.
And you can change the rules in order to make the archers better if you wanted to.
I mean, in this case, with the basic rules that they give us...
I think one of the reasons, though, what they were trying to do is convey a little bit more reality to where... Because, I mean, when an arrow shoots you, it's technically not going to be lethal unless it hits certain areas. Yeah. So if an arrow does hit you, it could graze you, and you'd just still not
especially
be hurt.
Especially when you're wearing a lot of armor.
Exactly.
No, I mean, that is true, but how many times did I shoot with my goblins before I just gave up?
And goblins are poor shots.
Yeah, goblins are the worst archers in the game.
Yeah, but I mean, still, I shot, like, each one shot 3 times.
Yeah, but I guess... Another thing we probably should mention, the archers themselves actually in close combat are not that half bad.
No, they're
not.
They
don't have necessarily as much armor as the normal fighters, but they all have swords.
Yeah.
So they do fight pretty well in close combat.
That's
why
I noticed. They did better up close.
So maybe if the archers were really powerful, they'd be the ultimate soldiers. Like you're saying, why don't we just take only archers, you know? Maybe if they're so powerful, that's all you'd ever do.
Well, I mean, I understand that, but I mean, since they don't kill anybody, why do we even take archers now?
Yeah.
It provides a chance to kill at distant range. So
it
just provides another element to the gameplay, and like I said, you can change the rules.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So Ryan, back to you.
Oh, what do I? Okay, I'll do a sweet thing.
Marriage string. Okay. What are you talking about? You put a card down for
looking in the rule book and seeing the limitless expanse of the figurines that you can get and you can make.
Oh yeah.
And just the endless bounds of scenarios you can make for this universe.
All the different characters.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say, Cal?
Oh, absolutely.
And especially with room to expand, I mean, since the Hobbit movie's coming out in a couple of years, they'll probably have room to expand on that, make characters for this from that movie as well.
Variety often makes for more interesting gameplay.
Exactly. Yes.
Unless it's just bad rules, but in this case, they're good rules, so.
Yeah, that's a solid rule set.
So.
So, we got, I guess there's a lot of awesome figures, like I said, just about every figure from the movies. Anything to expand on that?
No, not really. I mean, one.
What I'd really like for them to do is expand on the characters in previous books, like Silmarillion, and as long as I'm saying that right. If they're Lord of the Rings buff and I said that wrong, I'm sorry. But based on past history during the first and second and third ages, because there are a lot of major characters that lived during those ages that aren't recognized in the movies, or not as well known in the books, but are really powerful and really interesting characters, and it would be really cool if they expanded it and bring more characters to life through this.
That comes down to licensing.
Yeah.
Because the movie license are licensed separately from the book license. Games Workshop have only got the movie license.
Well, I don't know, they can actually cross the bounds on that because the First and Second Age is mentioned, and characters from the First and Second Age are mentioned in the movies, like Beren and the Lay of Luthien. The Lady of Luthien. So you can expand on those and the warriors. I mean, they've already done it on the past when Sauron first faces Gondor.
The elves here from the Wars of the Last Alliance.
Yeah,
between men and elves.
Yeah, that's history. So they could.
Because that was possibly the movie though, expand.
It was.
Because I think though, like I'm pretty sure someone else has the book license. Because there is a War of the Ring game made by, I want to say, Fantasy Flight. They may have. I don't know if it's Fantasy Flight, but someone does have the book license. Okay. I believe. But, you never know. It's, like I said, if it's a movie, they might be able to bring it out.
Mm-hmm.
Up to me next. I already talked about the rule. Let's see. I want to talk about something that may seem like next impossible here. Or in terms of a phrase that you never would have heard together. The phrase is Games Workshop and a cheap game. And so in terms of price, this game is so sweet. And I guess, do you guys know how much it cost?
No, I don't.
I didn't tell you how much I paid for all this stuff.
You didn't tell us.
The starter set was $60. Which came with 24 goblins, the plastic version of the Fellowship, the cave troll, and all the little plastic terrain pieces I got out here.
Mm-hmm. That was only $60?
Only $60. Plus the rule book, plus the starter kit, plus about 10 paints and a paintbrush.
Oh, nice.
Really? It includes the paints?
Yeah, the starter sets seem to all come with paints now, at least some of them do. Okay, cool. The figures themselves over here, basically, they all individual soldiers work out to be about $1 a piece.
That's really, yeah.
That's
sweet.
Yeah, that's good.
That's absolutely
two
sweet.
Two more so sweets. So I guess the reason it's kind of shocking, per se, anyone who's used to the Games Workshop used to paying just boatloads of money. I mean, you go 40K or Fantasy, you're going to expect to pay at least $100 for a basic army. You can, assuming you have access to the rules, you can really get a basic, maybe 150, 200-point army for less than $50. And, you know, probably even, because $25 a buy gets you 25 warriors, and do the math and have that comes up to be, well, around 150, 200 points, depending on how you equip them. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely the cheapest game by far.
I don't usually play too much of the Warhammer 40K, so I don't know too much about.
You've now been indoctrinated in the dark side of Games Workshop.
Yeah.
So some people don't like the company, that's all.
I really don't go in there.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Well,
I
guess we cannot use copyrighted material here.
I don't know, is there anything
else? Who says I was saying anything?
All right, I guess we're done with that topic then. There's really nothing not to discuss about. It's just to say the simple fact and how awesome it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Go ahead, Gal. Oh, hit the wrong button several times. Yeah.
I like the ability of the pikemen to be able to assist in battle. I think that's, you know, so sweet, assist, you know, being able to assist, you know, other units and, you know, multiple, you know, people attacking at once, you know, just like in...
I like that, too.
How real battle is. So, I mean, Ryan? I don't
like,
know if you...
In what way? What?
Remember, the pikemen and spearmen can support in combat.
Okay, yeah.
So, I don't know.
And then you get other... Okay. You also can have other people
go ahead,
charge at once.
Just kind of talk about all the, like, the weapons and tactics of the guys.
Like, the pikes, obviously, are a lot longer than most swords and, you know, normal weapons, just like spears are. So, therefore, they can often assist, you know, get by a guy in front of them and help them out with an attack. So, they'll add another die or usually just one die to your attack roll, but it'll often make a big difference in, you know, dealing some damage, maybe in killing a guy. And so I like that. I mean, it makes him a useful character, not up actually up front, you know, one-on-one, but, you know, behind the lines.
Well, he's not any worse one-on-one. He's still...
I feel he's a lot better suited.
Well, yeah, he's safer. Cause,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Let me just explain quickly how it works. Basically, you always got one or more frontline guys that are basically in here fighting each other. And normally, you only get one, if you got a really good guy, maybe two attack dice. Heroes might get three or more, but your typical soldier only has one. So you can have like either like a spearman or a pikeman support your frontline guy to join the fight, and that basically essentially gives you another attack die. So when you've got 2-1, the way combat resolution works, that's going to really improve your chances of actually winning a fight. But, okay.
Yeah, so that, I mean, that's what I was trying to explain, but, you know, I believe you explained it a little bit better than me. But that's about it for me. I mean, unless someone else has anything else to say about this. It's not much of a big topic, but...
It has tactical diversity in the game. You know,
yeah, that's...
Different units can do different roles, so you can... Different reasons to put different units in your army.
Yeah.
Instead of having one single frontline unit. One single unit type.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I take a moment here and actually explain how combat resolution is done. Actually, I didn't even talk about that.
No, we haven't.
So, let's run a simple example here. For example, we've got a Man of Gondor versus an Uruk-hai warrior. So what you do is we'll have Ryan and them roll the dice. So normally each guy's got a certain amount of attacks. In this case, both of them have one. So you roll one die. And you got a way to go, guys. I got a one, Ryan got a two. And what
dice rolls are not
of all the dice that you roll, you take the highest value of each one and compare them. Whoever essentially is the highest number wins the fight. So in this case, the Uruk-hai rolled a two. Kyle and the Valiant Men of Gondor rolled a one.
See, push him back.
Yeah, so the loser has to back up 2 centimeters, and then now the winner gets to execute a strike on them for each attack they have. So you would roll one die for your attack. And
see,
how
if I get
it works
anything
is
higher than one.
Yeah, any units have a strength.
Oh, he hits them.
Yeah, because
kills
units, units have a strength and a defense. And this little table here, like if you play in any of Games Workshop other games. This little damage resolution table, you match up the strength of the attacker versus the defense of the defender, and it gives you a number of what you gotta roll. In this case, you rolled a 5, which is enough to kill the Men of Gondor, he's dead. Had he rolled a lower number, say like a 1, then, well, the Gondor guy would just stood there and taken the hit.
Use the
it would have just been like,
basically, doesn't die.
Yeah.
And then that's why when you have, say, a spearman supporting him, now that the Gondor person has 2. And the Uruk-hai guy has 1, and obviously, therefore, it gives the Gondor person
4.
A much better chance to win the fight.
4.
In this case, the highest number is both 4 and 4, and units have a fight value, which basically identifies how good of a soldier they are. And in an event of a tie like this, the person with a better fight value would win, which in this case is the Uruk-hai. So they would be beaten back again.
Oh, nice. Okay, so would I kill him again? Let me see.
Find out.
Yes,
yeah,
you do.
Okay.
Do I kill both of them or just one?
Just one.
Okay.
Because you only can do one damage.
Charge!
So that's just a very... Way to go! That would die roll
3.
One. Okay.
He dies.
So that's quick run through the tutorial. How you...
Would have been a 6. He would have been dead.
All right, Ryan, your turn.
Okay, my turn. Well, I'm just going to expand on what you guys have been saying the past couple of minutes is the battle strategy.
Okay. Was it so sweet to slap him down
there? Yes, yeah. Battle strategies.
Okay. I'm going to say, I like that some of the movement, how things align, how organize guys to get the maximum damage and stuff.
And,
oh, no, absolutely.
And how I was mentioning earlier, the battle system can be very simple for people, just beginners can play it, or it can be complex for people who really like to, who like complex things, and they have a lot of, yeah, like him. And I was looking at some of the characters that you don't have, like the Winged Eagles and the Balrog and stuff, and they got a lot of special moves where it'd just be cool to send an army of Orcai or soldiers to one of those creatures and just have them hack it out. That would be really sweet.
Because the way the combat resolution is, literally one swipe will knock like entire squad of guys back, and then you get like ripped apart and stuff. But there's definitely a fair amount of tactics in moving around. Because, obviously swarming around guys would allow them from actually, if they can't back off when you win a fight, you get to really pound them into the ground. So you get twice as many dice to destroy them if you can't back away. Want to talk about a little goblin versus the fellowship issue?
Oh, you mean how I had four of...
So your picture can be shown for the podcast.
It was Aragorn, Gandalf, Sam, and Legolas. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
They were all surrounding him in just a basic training scenario where they had the trap door, and I had him surrounded at the trap door, and that added 14 dice to my... 12 dice.
14.
Total 14 dice 15. To my roll.
Because I couldn't escape, so all his attacks are doubled, and he just got massacred and ripped in half. So a lot of that comes down to really being able to concentrate attacks on one unit and be able to organize your forces in the right way to swarm around.
I definitely do like the movement.
And one thing it reminds me of is old sword combat. It goes right down to the level of sword and blows combat. And you don't have guns. You don't have AK-47s or anything like that just to blow something away. You have to use swords, and you have to get right up to the person. Mm-hmm. And I like one of the things about this. It's really cool.
Okay, my turn then. We're doing time. We're doing pretty good time still. Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and let's go with my one hater raid. Well, not necessarily my one, but a hater raid. And the fact is that the intellectual property of Lord of the Rings is not controlled by Games Workshop. And this is
like what do you mean?
Is the fact that Games Workshop can't decide the fate of the story. Don't for a minute think I'm ragging on Lord of the Rings. I love this story, but the fact that there's events, like, I guess I'll explain. If this is compared to 40K or fantasy, like, 2 years ago, about a year and a half ago, there's a 40K campaign, basically, for the other games where they control the story. They have these worldwide campaigns that affect and influence the story.
It's kind of like HeroScape, in a sense. You mean, like, HeroScape makes their own story?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, oh yeah.
Because, there's an event called the Medusa 5 campaign in Warhammer 40K, where all the factions came down this one planet, and in 7 weeks, the planet would be destroyed. It's about to be consumed by this massive storm, so all the different races had different objectives of trying to capture these 7 weeks before the planet got consumed and destroyed. It was so much fun.
Well, so. I don't think it's a so sweet thing, but I'm going to have to disagree.
Okay. And Cal?
And
do you care the Games Workshop can't write make changes to the story?
Well, I don't think it's... actually, I don't mind it. I wish... That, someone else...
No.
Why does it have to be one or the other?
Because that's how this show works.
Exactly. You have to make up your mind.
You know what?
I only made two decisions at the same
time.
I'm
going to hate it. Okay. It's going to be a hate raid just because I do like stories where Battletech has, taken in, and we can use those Battletech storylines for, MechWarrior Dark Age if we want to.
I'm going to tell you why I disagree with that statement.
Go for it.
Being one who's read the books and who knows the history, I can understand why they can't change a story because it's already set in stone. You can't change something that's already been written a long time ago, especially when the author's dead. It's just something I can understand why they can't do that. And I mean, I might be able to agree with maybe something happening after the events of Lord of the Rings. Happen and then times after that, but after that is just times of peace and growing. So, I think creating your own scenarios is good. I mean, they give you free range to create whatever scenarios, and they tell you you can create whatever stories you want. You can change the story, and so they give you free range for that. So, I just don't think it's really a big major issue.
Because I guess the reason. the reason I disagree is because, like, compared to BattleTech, where literally as you play the game, basically, you know, the company, or Mech, well, WizKids at least used to, I don't know if they still do, I think they still do, they run monthly events where based on what happens in the all the world, around the world, this affects the story. So this plan gets captured by so-and-so, and now it's in their control. And it's just so much more fun, I think, in, like, BattleTech, especially if you're reading along what's going on in the events of the world of, like, Jihad. It's downright scary what's going on. You're basically living in these times, and you're fighting these battles along with the storylines going on. It's just it's really much more engrossing to know that
you're getting more into the story. Yeah,
why can't you make up your own?
You could. But
it's always cool to be part of this massive global movement that knows you.
Because it's not just you, but everyone else is part of it, too.
You could be still part of a global movement and still not do
that. No, I'm not saying you can't.
Yeah, but okay, well, that's too
much. I mean, this is already a global movement for crime.
Oh, well, yeah, but it's totally different. I think it's just different than how other games work out. So, Kyle's turn.
This is my second hate raid. It's the reliance on dice too much during battle.
I'll disagree with you. It's so sweet, I'll explain why, but...
I feel like...
Tell the story first, and I'll tell why I disagree.
Because there's been many times where I've had... Yes. People assisting, you know, helping me out, 2-1, and the guy gets pushed back by even the weaker guy, like, even really weaker guy. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like...
Because of the dice roll.
Yeah, because of the dice roll. I mean, unfortunately, thank you for making me swear.
No, it's because of the dang dice roll.
Dang dice roll, yeah.
The dang.
Okay, but... So, I mean, like, it would be...
This is a freaking swear word every time.
It would be, you know, a little bit... I think it would be could be improved upon if these guys actually, you know, like how some guys can get wounded. If they just gave everyone, you know, ability to be, you know, wounded, you know, like, you know, have one wound, you know, just increase a couple of people with more wounds so it doesn't automatically rely on very poor dice rolling, you know, instead, you know, minimizes that.
Okay. And I just had a thought, even though I do...
What's
up?
Even though I do agree with you, Kyle, I can understand why, because why they made it that way is because you can just grab a dice from anywhere and use them instead of making their own dice and have it being another thing to buy from the set and making the set more expensive. So I can understand why they use the dice, but I still don't like
the way they use the dice. Well, it doesn't matter, they use a lot of them, but... I'll say why I thought it was so sweet. Because coming from 40K or Fantasy, this system is about a 33% improvement in the reduction amount of dice you need to play 40K or Fantasy. All the combat requires 2 dice rolls. Both 40K and Fantasy all require 3 dice rolls to resolve any individual hit. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, as a Tau Empire, I've spent, this is standard, about 1,000-point army. I'll roll, like, 70, 80 dice firing in one round because I have all my guys unloading on the enemy and they're dropping dead. So, yeah, it's a lot of dice, but it's definitely less dice than the other games. That's why I say it's so sweet. They're moving in the right direction.
I just think it could be minimized how much, you know, bad dice rolling, you know, has affected me in, you know, a couple of these games, and you, too.
Oh, yeah.
It was, you know, things like my hobbits should have been killed that one game, and you've rolled snake eyes every time.
Well, like I said, I mean, you can change the rules. I mean, rules can be easily changed.
I mean, you can change everything, but I'm going based on the basic rule settings here.
All right. So who was that? That was Kyle. Ryan, your turn. Let's go one more round, then we'll finish this thing up. I think we'll be about done then.
Okay. One thing I think is so sweet is how these figurines... I don't know if you already did this.
We might have.
I didn't even start...
We didn't officially review it, though. We didn't officially call it so sweet.
Well, I'll call it so sweet. Okay. How the figurines and the... Even you did have a little bit of...
Train pieces.
How they reflect the movies and the books.
Okay.
Oh,
that's sweet.
Well, so sweet. I think we slightly started getting to that, but we're going into a little bit more now. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Ryan. Start off. I guess is there anything else?
Okay. Even if you didn't paint these figurines, the detail still shows, and they say that you can play these figurines without even painting them because they show still a lot of detail.
Games Workshop is fantastic at sculpting figures. Mm-hmm. They're absolutely fantastic.
I mean, you look at this, you can see the little niches in Gandalf's staff, and I mean his beard flowing.
I love the troll. The troll's my favorite figure.
Guys that aren't supposed to have mustaches with mustaches.
You can even see his nose. And
that was an accident.
Wait, what? What's that?
One of my men at Gondor here, the Warriors of Minas Tirith. I didn't completely paint the. entire peach skin face in. So it looks like this little mustache around it. And it looks really good.
That could
and
be Boromir.
No, it looked really good. Yeah, it looked really good.
Not
Boromir.
Or his brother.
Yeah, or his brother Faramir.
I'm not saying it didn't look good.
Oh, let's see. So instead of me being all smooth and being like, oh, wow, I did an excellent job painting that mustache. No, my response is, oh, I screwed that up. I didn't mean to paint that.
Never do that. You just like,
Because I complimented you. I'm like, that's really, really good job there.
You totally wasted yourself.
And I'm like, what mustache?
Yeah. It's okay, Jason. You'll win.
Yeah, well. Anything else? I got nothing else to add to that. They're awesome figures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and I can mention you painting yourself. That's awesome, too. Okay. All right. Last one. So we're going to finish. We'll finish the last one with me. Then I guess we'll do So Sweet. And the fact there's not a lot of special rules and powers for the units. So they're fairly straightforward mathematical military units that they don't have a lot of crazy rules to them. So what do you guys think about that?
That's
why I think it's so sweet, too.
That's true. But you also have crazy rules in the advance for the more powerful characters.
Some of the powerful characters have them. But
the basic characters actual real military. Yeah. I agree. I mean, that is sweet that, you know, you keep to the basic laws of physics and what people can and can't do.
And they can get stronger, but only by other people backing them up and so on and so forth.
And here's why I wanted to say that. Just because if you ever play, it's another 40K or fantasy thing. Special rules for figures in Games Workshop games are usually very long and wordy and can be found in multiple places. Or they're split up in multiple places across the rule books.
And can be read as different ways.
Yes. So unlike, if you play HeroScape, every character has got some crazy special rule to them. But they're all relatively simple, short, one or two sentences. They usually don't have really wild changes in the rules. Mm-hmm. That's in the same with Games Workshop stuff. Every single thing, Army and 40K and Fantasy, have all sorts of different special rules. And you're always trying to figure out, how does this apply in this situation sometimes? Whose rule takes precedent? And it can get really messy and bogged down. I mean, so to have a game where most of the guys don't have that, it really speeds up play a lot. Okay.
Well,
anything else?
Nope.
Play speed up and
yeah.
You get all your rules in one book and
okay.
Yeah, it's really simple.
All right, sounds good then. I guess that's.
I mean, we've been pretty consistent here almost.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess let's go ahead. I guess it's been about the full time, so it's time to go ahead and just say our final thoughts on the game. We'll go
order. Are we gonna judge it? Are we judge the game?
Usual. I think we're going with the usual system from last year. I decided if we're gonna change that for this year, but. Maybe we'll do that later, but change it up?
Let's do the same thing. This time I won't use numbers.
Okay. Should we review what each one is?
Yes, of course. We'll just do simple. Awesome game is the highest ranking. It's good game, kind of eh.
We're
the fun ones, where it's like, oh, this game makes me sick. Why have I wasted my time playing it? And the lowest one that no one's been pulled out on the show just quite yet, because I'm afraid if one of us actually does pull this lowest one out, the other two people might hold it against them. They actually go through with it, and that is the game is so bad you'd rather be kicked in the crotch and play it. So
let's stand in the corner and.
So let's go with the final tallies up here: 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, about 25, 26 so sweets. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 haterades. It's about 26, 25 to about 8. So. Let's go ahead here, roll our dice, and see who's going to go first for the final review. Highest number goes first. I got a 1.
I got a 6.
3.
Kyle, Ryan, me. Go ahead.
You know, I'll admit, this was a good game. I mean, not awesome. I enjoyed it more than StarCraft. I know I put StarCraft around, the same, level.
You enjoyed it more than StarCraft?
No, I enjoyed StarCraft more.
Okay. He spent the whole day asking, why can't I play StarCraft?
I apologize. It's late. So, no, I enjoyed StarCraft more than this, but, it's on the same level, which, unfortunately our system's limited. Otherwise, if we had more different, areas, levels, I would have put StarCraft above it. Mm-hmm. But overall, this is, great priced game, got some decent, movement tactics, improved dice rolling, try and minimize, the amount of bad dice rolling has an effect on the battle. But overall, it's worthwhile to play.
Right?
Well, this is the first time doing this. I'm giving this the highest ranking I can give it.
Awesome game?
It's being an awesome game, even though I did have a little, you know, quirks about it, the game, I mean, the game's Lord of the Rings. You can't get any better than that. And
he's got tons of Lord of the Rings stuff. You can't. All his stuff in front of all his book and movies, all his.
Yeah, he wants to bring it down.
I'm a Lord of the Rings fanatic. I love the history. I'm basing it off similar books I'm writing with the history and just the linguistics and the culture. And this game reflects that world so well and so great. I can't wait to play scenarios with these things. It's going to be awesome. So,
okay, I guess I'll finish up with the last then. I say it's a very solid game. It's a very good game. Games Workshop came out with another very solid game. I haven't played enough to say whether I like it better than 40K or Fantasy. And I guess because in that regard, my one concern might be in terms of large-scale battles. I don't know, because all the battles here resolve one-on-one, whereas in 40K and Fantasy, they're resolved squad-on-squad. So it's a lot, you know, it's when you're resolving 12 figures and 12 figures in 40K Fantasy, it's one set dice roll versus here it'd be 12 sets of dice rolling. I guess my only concern that I don't know how well it'd scale to larger battles, but it's a solid rule set.
I can't wait to see.
It's definitely got some improvements over 40K in Fantasy, and I love the figures. They're fun to paint. I love painting figures, period. They're beautiful.
You did a really good job with it.
And saying how awesome my work is. Yeah,
you really did a good job. Really, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. But I guess, yeah, a good game.
And you painted these.
Yeah.
Really? You painted
the skeletons and stuff. And
wow.
Yeah, that's really good.
That's, yeah.
Okay, I don't think that's as good as the figures, but all right, we'll allow it.
That's impressive.
So with that, I guess it's honestly a good game then. Except for you, I think it's an awesome game.
I think it's an awesome game.
Oh. So it's $60 for starter set. Go out and get it. It's their cheapest games. If you really want to, I guess, get started in the game, your best place, take a trip down to local Games Workshop, have them play a few scenarios with you, and get started.
All right.
So let's wrap this up. Anything else you guys want to talk about at all?
Nothing really else tonight. No.
This was my game of the year, probably, so.
Already, the game of the year. Well,
we're going to have to find me another game to review.
We're going to have to review this tape, you know, when we get by the end of the year. Mm-hmm. If we find a better game,
we'll have to
kick you in the crotch.
As far as I know, this
we'll have to kick you in the crotch. I mean, that's pretty much what will have to happen. I mean, it's something you want to avoid, but.
I highly doubt I'll find another game that's exciting as this year.
Okay.
Well, we'll find out, because the next game review we're going to be doing is Rackham's Age of Ragnarok Confrontation, a brand new fantasy warfare game that I'm going
to... This is the one similar to Heroescape that you're mentioning. Yeah,
that absolutely beautiful figures to that game. And so any questions, comments, send them to me at jason@rocklesoftware.com, rocklesoftware.com. I wish I would change the table.
Hooked on Phonics worked for me.
I just try to be polite to people, so, you know.
So it'll appear on the screen, it'll go boom.
Yeah, it'll be magic.
It'll be magic. So we'll do one final little joke here. The Starter Set comes a nice little replica of the Ring of Power. Even how tempting it might be, don't put it on your finger because it will get stuck.
Yeah.
So I wonder, what happened, Brian? Tell us about that.
Did Jason tell you about
that? It's just about maybe a little bit smaller than the average male finger, so you can kind of jam it on there, and it ain't going to come off easily.
No, but it did come off rather easily for me. I was going like, and then I just went like that.
Oh, wait, you put it in your mouth?
Yeah.
Oh, have a good night. You guys in 2 weeks.
Copyright 2007-2008 Rock of Software, licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial License.
The intro music down with everything is by The Transfer, and it's acquired from www.podtapeaudio.com, and it's used in a Creative Commons license.